Okay, Paul, let's look at another thing that pertains or that is an issue with some people in the body of Christ as it relates to the message of grace, is that of reaping and sowing and tithe.
Mm-hmm.
What illustrations do you have that you can share with people of reaping, sowing, and tithe? Or maybe to even interject the question, does God get mad at me when I don't tithe?
Well, this of every topic we've discussed, this is probably the most polarizing one
right.
in the church, in the grace community even. The grace community is very split on this answer, and probably the one that could get me in the most hot water with pastors, honestly. And that is that when people ask me, what do you think about the tithe? I say, I think it's perfectly fine if you're a Jew living under the old covenant and there's a natural priesthood that needs your money. And if all of those qualifications are met, then you ought to tithe. Because the tithe was instituted to support the tribe of Levi.
Correct.
That did not have property, possessions, or cattle.
And thus, were not allowed
they
to.
Were not allowed to because their possession was the tabernacle.
Correct.
The temple. And so what they received was 10% of the first fruits of harvest of all of Israel.
Right.
Who basically supported the priesthood through that.
Right.
Hebrews comes along and tells you that you have a different high priest. You
right.
have Christ, who's not a priest after the Aaronic priesthood, but is a priest after the order of Melchizedek.
Right.
And it says, if there is a change of the priesthood, there is by necessity a change of the law.
Right.
And so that whole passage is dealing with them tithing into Abraham tithing into Melchizedek. And so some people have even taken that to say, well, Abraham tithed before the law, thus, tithing should happen after the law.
Right.
So if tithing happened before the law, it should happen after. My response to that is, don't get locked into things that happened pre-law as if they should happen post-law. Circumcision was pre-law. Levirate marriage was pre-law. There were people that had levirate marriage and there were circumcision. There was animal sacrifice that was pre-law. And we don't do animal sacrifice, and we don't do circumcision, and we don't do the law of levirate marriage. Even though all of those things happened prior to the law, we realize they were fulfilled in Christ.
Right.
And so to me, the tithe, I believe very clearly, when Paul talks about giving in 2 Corinthians, he never tells the church to tithe. In fact, he tells the church in 2 Corinthians to give
from the
not
increase.
Compulsory.
Right.
Not compulsory, which
right.
means obligation. Don't give by obligation if you're supposed to tithe. I used to hear it said and said it. I don't care if you want to or not. You have to.
You have to.
That's compulsory giving.
Down to the penny.
Down to the penny. That's compulsory giving. And Paul said, don't ever give by compulsion. Don't ever give out of necessity. Give cheerfully. Give from the abundance of your heart. And so Paul does not invoke the tithe on new creation people because they're not supporting a natural priesthood. They're supporting. They're not supporting a priesthood at all. Your
right.
your tithe in no way supports the priesthood. So we say, well, God, what are we going to do if we don't give to God? Listen, the reality is when you give in the body of Christ, you're not giving to God.
Correct.
What can you give God that he doesn't already have? Paul says that you're sowing into those who sow the word.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're receiving good seed, Paul says, if you want to keep receiving good seed by
support.
Which the abundance of grace
right.
comes to you, then you need to put into that seed bag. You
right.
need to sow into that. So that's the equivalent of when people say, well, don't you think you should give into the local church? Hey, if you're fed at the local church, you absolutely ought to give
right.
into the local church. Otherwise, how are you going to have a local church?
Right.
If you're being fed by a ministry, you ought to be giving into that ministry. Otherwise, guess what? They're going to look for you one day. And you're not going to be there
right.
because you just can't pay the bills. So it's a reality that we give. Now, in the regards to sowing and reaping, that scripture from Galatians 6, to me, is very obviously about money. Galatians 6 has been used a lot of times for people, even an anti-grace scripture. They'll say, well, you know, the Bible says you reap what you sow.
Right.
You grace people say that Jesus has already reaped what we sowed. Well, he has reaped what we sowed when it comes to sin and condemnation. But the reaping what you sow that Paul uses, I want to read it from Galatians chapter 6. Listen to the bookends of this, bookends being the front and the back. Verse 6, let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived, God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. Now what was Paul talking about? Paul was talking about if someone is teaching you good things,
share with him.
So then he says, don't be deceived, God's not mocked, if you're sowing, you're going to reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. He who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Let's not grow weary while doing good, because in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have an opportunity, let us do good to all, especially those who are of the household of faith. So it's obvious Paul's talking about giving into the work that blesses you, that feeds you. He says, don't be deceived, though. God's not going to be mocked on this. Whatever you sow into, you're going to receive from. So if you sow into your flesh, you're going to receive of it fleshly things. If you sow into the Spirit, you're going to receive of it spirit things. So I use, there's a couple of different ways to see this. I think both are close to the to where I think Paul was going. When you buy something in the natural, it passes away. I don't care how good it is. If you go buy a house, it's going to sit there only so many years. If you don't make repairs, the wind and the rain and the storms and the sun are going to win. They're going to knock that down. It will corrupt. That's sowing into the flesh, and you're going to get corruption. If you sow into the Spirit, you're going to receive the Spirit. So if you're sowing into the things of God, you can rest assured that the things you receive are not being destroyed by this world system. The other way to look at it is this. A lot of people are probably watching you and never giving a dime, and they're being fed by you. They're loving it. They're coming back every week or however often you air or put a new program up. And they're watching, and they maybe even watching right now, and they've never supported you. Now, I believe that the Holy Spirit's going to begin to deal with them to say, look, if you're being fed by this ministry, you ought to support this ministry if you expect to see it there in the future. And until they're dealt with on that issue, they probably haven't thought much about it. I believe they'll be dealt with it now. But a lot of people will feed off of you every week and never give a dime. And to me, they're sowing into their flesh to say, I can do this without anybody's help.
Right.
I can do this on my own. And out of that, they're going to reap corruption. So just, I want to encourage anyone, if you're being fed by ministry, fed by church, you're seeing Jesus in that, you ought to sow into it.
Correct.
Because that is the way and means by which you get to continue to hear that message in that place, whether it's what you're doing or what the local church down the street is doing. Right. But if you go into it with a tithe mentality, you are going into it believing that you will own, you will get a financial return. If you give money to God, God will give back to you in some way or the other. And then if you don't, you'll be cursed. And that completely negates what Paul said. Christ became the curse for us. And so if he became the curse for you for sin, he became the curse for you for anything. And so by not giving, you no more bring a curse upon yourself than you do by sinning bring a curse upon yourself, because Christ was made the curse on your behalf.
It's already taken care of. But we hear so much promotion about money, money, money.
Yeah.
Give, sow into this, and I guarantee you, you'll get a hundredfold by Monday and everything.
Yeah.
Everybody has seen those. Everybody has turned, you know, dislikes them to a degree. But there's always a new group of people that are gullible, especially when they're having a hard time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they turn to that as a means of getting released from whatever problem they're having instead of turning to Christ.
Well, brother, I think any time that you begin to struggle with an issue, your conscience will quickly recommend a few dead works to make up for it. And those dead works are often good.
Right.
Why don't you read more? Why don't you pray more? Why don't you fast? Why don't you give more? And without even realizing what we're doing, we go try to buy God off. The offering plate comes by and we go, I'm going to give more of this.
Well, it goes back to the garden, the tree of good and evil.
Yeah. And we're eating off the good side a lot.
We're trying to eat off the good side to prevent the bad side.
Yep. And all the while we're eating off the good side, we're peering through the branches, mad at that guy over there that's eating off the evil side.
Right.
And we both should be eating off the tree of life.
Right. And, you know, both of us are in the same boat, but, you know, what I'm doing is good.
Yeah.
And what he's doing is terrible.
It's to appease a dead, it's to appease an evil conscience.
Right.
And it's a useless venture. And it pops its head up in a lot of different ways. Giving is only one of them. But I want to say this. We've been misrepresented a lot in grace, because people will say, well, they don't even believe you should give. And that's absolute lunacy.
Right.
I absolutely believe you should give. I don't think you should give a dime more than you want to.
Right.
I mean, I don't think you should ever give out of necessity.
Correct.
Or compulsory. I think you should give as your heart, but if you're being fed in a place, that's where you ought to be praying towards giving. And then listen to the Spirit. Every offering I receive, and I don't, when you're not pastoring, you don't take up too many offerings anymore. Right. And I don't ask for money. So, but when I was pastoring and we would take up offering, when we came to offering time, I would say there's no dollar amount, there's no percentage amount, but there is a Holy Spirit amount. There's an amount in the Holy Spirit that He is going to speak to you about giving, or He won't. If He doesn't say a word to you, don't give. But if the Holy Spirit tells you, it's going to agree with your spirit, and that's exactly what you should give. Don't give a penny more. Don't give a penny less. And I've even...
That's going to be the witness.
He's in you. Right. You don't need me to tell you how much. But right. We prefer someone to just say, well, give me a percentage that'll keep me in good favor.
Right.
And that doesn't work that way. Right. I've even said to people on our internet programming before, is on our podcast, is some of you, know, I'll feel really dealt with in my spirit about dealing with giving. But I hate to say, hey, we need you to give into our ministry. So I'll do the same thing right here. Just say, listen to the Spirit. And I've even said this more than once. Some of you are giving, and you should stop. Because the Holy Spirit never told you to give. And you're only giving because you're giving out of an old religious mindset that makes you think you ought to. And unless the Holy Spirit's told you to give, I want you to stop giving. I've probably received more compliments on that one thing than almost anything we've ever taught, because people have never heard it before. They've never heard a ministry say, stop giving if the Holy Spirit's not telling you to. But I absolutely believe what Mary said in John 2 at the wedding of Cana. And I live my life by this. When she told the men, whatever He says to you, do it.
Go do.
And so whatever Jesus says to you, do it.
Right. Very much.